Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 16 April, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
It's on. All right. Well, this is a great passage we're in with that introduction. We're in 2 Corinthians on Wednesday. And the churches in Corinth, Paul had to let them have it. He had to clobber them and clobber them and clobber them and clobber them. They set the world record when it came to reversionism. And he had to let them have it in 1 Corinthians. And after he wrote 1 Corinthians, he was concerned that he didn't even have a ministry there anymore. So he sent his troubleshooter up to Corinth. And his troubleshooter was a pastor teacher named Titus. I like that name, Titus. And he sent Titus up to Corinth to find out if there was even a ministry up there anymore. He thought maybe they reacted, they peeled off, they didn't want to have anything to do with the Apostle Paul anymore. So he sent Titus up to find out what was the situation in Corinth, in the churches in Corinth. And that's where we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll start the corrected translation at verse 1. And therefore, having these promises of 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16 to 18, beloved royal family, let us cleanse ourselves from every category of melusmos. Every category of defilement. Of the flesh, the sin nature, and the spirit, a mental attitude of carnal death, which was their negative volition to Bible doctrine and their arrogance. And so how do you cleanse yourselves from every category of melusmos? By rebound, 1 John 1:9. Reaching the goal of experiential sanctification completely, by means of the fear of God. That's category number one, fear of the Lord, which is humility, respect for the authority of God and His Word and the pastor who teaches it. Verse 2, make room for us in your hearts. We have treated no one unjustly. We have corrupted no one through false teaching, false doctrine. We have taken advantage of no one financially. All of these were accusations and judging and slandering and maligning the believers in Corinth had for the Apostle Paul and for his whole team, Silvanus, Apollos, Timothy, Titus. Verse 3, I absolutely am not communicating this for the purpose to condemn you, for I have already communicated, taught you, that you keep on being in our hearts to live together and to die together. Verse 4, but I want you to know this, Paul says, great is my fearlessness and moral courage in teaching Bible doctrine, the Word of God. Paul always taught the Word of God fearlessly and with great moral courage. And he did that when he was in Corinth. He knew that they were going to get their feet all stepped on, their toes stepped on. He knew that, but he didn't. He still taught the Word of God with great fearlessness and great moral courage. And then he says, and great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with inner happiness in all our afflictions and pressures and adversities. Verse 5. But we were afflicted, oppressed in every way, from the outside and from the inside. First of all, from the outside, fighting, quarrels, strife, disputes. And then from the inside, apprehension, feelings of anxiety, fears about the situation in Corinth. In verse 5, the key word there is phlebo. T-H-L-I-B-long-O. Phlebo. That's the key word in verse 5. It is pressure on the outside that crushes on the inside. In our verse, it's used figuratively. And figuratively, phlebo means to be under maximum pressure, to be afflicted, to be oppressed, to be hard-pressed. And in our verse, this affliction and oppression is suffering for blessing. Suffering for blessing that God gives to the spiritually mature believer. In context, the subject we refers to communicators of the Word of God, to Paul and his whole team. Paul and pastor-teacher Timothy and pastor-teacher Titus, Silvanus, Apollos, Paul and his whole team. By application, it includes suffering for blessing for all the royal family of God that have attained spiritual maturity. This affliction and oppression is undeserved suffering for blessing that God graciously gives to the winner believer so that he can glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity. This affliction and oppression are spiritual hurdles that only the winner believer is qualified to run. And to clear the spiritual hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing demands precisely correct procedure, knowing and using God's problem-solving devices. The winner believer lives the spiritual life by the grace and by the power of God. And therefore he shares the happiness of God, whether he is in adversity and suffering or in prosperity. He lives the faith-rest life, and he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He knows God. Because he knows God, he loves God. He knows the essence of God, the plan of God, the will of God. He has Jesus Christ made at home in his heart. He's occupation with Jesus Christ. And therefore, he has impersonal love for all. And the Apostle Paul, as much as he clobbered the believers in Corinth, he loved them all with tough virtue love. And there are times when a pastor teacher loves his congregation with tough virtue love. So we have, in fact, when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted and oppressed in every way. On the outside, and first of all, on the outside, fighting, quarrels, strife, disputes. And the key word here is mache. M-A-C-H, long E, mache. And Mache describes everything that had been going on in the churches in Corinth. Literally, the word means battle. But in the Word of God, Mache is only in the plural and is only used of battles fought without actual weapons. And therefore, Mache means fighting and quarrels and strife and disputes. The Apostle Paul was constantly being hit by believers, by unbelievers, by demons. They were all judging and slandering and maligning. And they tried as hard as possible to destroy the Apostle Paul. The forces of Satan were against him. The forces of legalism were against him. Christians were constantly maligning him with quarreling and strife and disputes and fighting. And all of that was undeserved suffering for blessing. Paul's the greatest believer, maybe of all time, greatest Bible teacher of all time. And all of this was undeserved suffering for blessing for the Apostle Paul. That was exothen on the outside. And then we have the adverb esothen from the inside. And the key word on the inside is phobos. P-H-O-B-O-S. Phobos. And phobos is the Greek noun translated literally fear. We get our English word phobia from phobos. And it means apprehensions, feelings of anxiety, all the machai on the outside, all the fighting, quarrels, strife, disputes, that causes apprehensions and feelings of anxiety on the inside. Oh boy. All these battles on the outside create pressures on the inside. But the faithful communicator of the Word of God deals with this all the time. Any faithful communicator of the Word of God deals with these things all the time. It never lets up. So we have, in fact, when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were afflicted, oppressed in every way, from the outside, fighting, quarrels, strife, disputes, from the inside, apprehension, feelings of anxiety, fears concerning the situation in Corinth. Now that brings us to verse 6. Nevertheless, God, who comforteth those that are cast down. This is the conjunction Allah plus the nominative singular of Theos with the definite article plus the articular present active participle of parakaleo, plus the accusative plural masculine of the adjective tapenos with a definite article. Now, Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. Oops, put it in English rather than Greek. A-L-L-A, Allah. Now, it sets up a contrast. You need to get this. It sets up a contrast between, one, all the judging and maligning that Paul received from those trying to destroy him, with great comfort he received from God. So there's a major contrast here. Allah. A contrast between all the judging and maligning Paul received from those trying to destroy him, with great comfort he received from God by the grace and the power of God. And secondly, it sets up a contrast between all the pressures Paul had in his soul with great inner happiness Paul received by the coming of Titus and his great report when he came back from Corinth. Paul wasn't sure if there was even a ministry anymore, and Titus comes back and says, yes, there is. You do have a ministry there. And you know what? They feel so bad the way they treated you and maligned you and slandered you and judged you. And they told me that they knew you were 100% right. And they were 100% wrong. And they know that. And they want you to know that they rebounded. They got back in fellowship. They're listening and learning and applying what you taught. And they love you, Paul, and they can't wait for you to come back and teach them. Wow! Wow, that's a horse of a different color. So, I'm sure that when Paul went back to Corinth, there was a special parade. A parade. They were up in the, with confetti and everything coming down, bands playing and all that. No? Okay. And then we have ha-theos. But ha-theos, the definite article, and the noun for God, T-H-E-O-S, ha theos, the God. The God is the one who comforts the believer who has humility. And we're going to see that with another real special word here, tapenos, the tapenos believer. And I hope you all here are tapenos believers. But the God, now Paul describes God through the articular present active participle of parakaleo, and he's going to use this word several times. This is the first time, parakaleo. P-A-R-A-K-A-L-E-long-O. Parakaleo. Okay, just a couple of things on parakaleo. It's a compound word made up of the, first of all, the preposition para, and para means to one side. And then kaleo, which is the verb to call. So it's a compound word, para plus kaleo. So, two, literally, parakaleo means to call to one side. To call to one side, to summon, to invite. That's literally. Then parakaleo came to mean to comfort. You call someone to one side, to comfort, to encourage, to cheer up. And Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 622 and 623 says, this is how parakaleo is used in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. The God, comforting, encouraging, cheering up. The articular participle is substantival. That means it's used as a noun. So you translate it, the one who comforts, the one who encourages, the one who cheers up. And who is that? Ha Theos, the God. The God is the one who comforts the tapenos believer. This is the kind of believer you want to be. A tapenos believer. T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S. Tapenos. Tapenos believer. A couple of things on this word. Literally, tapenos means low. That's the literal translation, low. But in the Word of God, tapenos is only used figuratively. And with the definite article, which is what we have in our verse, this adjective becomes a substantive, a noun. And therefore, tapenos means the lowly. But point two, tapenos, in a good sense, is the Greek word for humility. The Greek word for humility. And as a noun, it would be the humble, or the ones who have humility. That's tapenos as a noun. The humble, the ones who have humility. Point three, a principle. God comforts, encourages, cheers up the humble believer. The believer who has great respect for God. The believer who has great respect for the Word of God. The believer who has great respect for the communicator of the Word of God. Ha Theos, the God, comforts and encourages and cheers up the humble believer. Four, Paul has great, genuine humility. Paul has great, genuine humility. Five, therefore God comforted Paul and his whole team by the coming of Titus. Therefore God comforted Paul and the whole team by the coming of Titus. Corrected translation. But God, the God, the one who comforts, encourages, cheers up the humble believer, comforted us by the coming of Titus. This is the aorist active indicative of parakaleo, used again. I told you we're going to see this several times. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative singular of parousia, plus the proper noun, and in the Greek you would pronounce this titos. Well, we have parakaleo repeated, comforted, the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, us, that is Paul and his entire team, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, Apollos, and the preposition N plus the dative. And N plus the dative is the dative of means, and you translate it by means of the parousia. P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A, parousia. And parousia is the word means coming or presence. The coming or the presence of, and then the proper noun, titos. T-I-T-O-S, titos. Now you have it in your Bibles, Titus, T-I-T-U-S, but not in the Greek, it was Titos. All right, let's get a couple of things about this excellent, wonderful pastor teacher, Titus. One, by the way, one of my best friends, best friends at Dallas Seminary, Andy Todd. Andy Todd, pastor in Albuquerque for years and years and years, and he's in heaven now. Andy Todd was not only... Andy Todd was like a Titus. And he knew all about Titus in the Word of God. So when he had a son, he named him Titus. He wanted his son to be just like the Titus in the Bible. And he was. But I thought Andy Todd was like a Titus. And Andy, he not only was a great communicator of the Word of God, faithful communicator, he loved to hunt. And he invited me down to New Mexico to go hunting. We went on all kinds of, we went on turkey hunts, we went on antelope hunts. It was absolutely fantastic. I could tell you all kinds of stories about turkey hunting and antelope hunting. We had names. When he called me, he would call me up and say, "Is this Two Beard?" I go, "Yes, yes." "Is this Long Beard?" He was Long Beard. I was Two Beard. One turkey hunt, I got two toms. He got the big humdinger of a tom. He got the Long Beard. So he was all, Andy was always Long Beard, and I was Two Beard. So we didn't say Andy and Dick. We just said Long Beard, Two Beard. One, Titus was one of the Apostle Paul's top students in his traveling seminary. Titus was one of the Apostle Paul's top students in his traveling seminary. 2, Titus had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. He had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. He was a great, faithful communicator of the Word of God. 3, Titus was the Apostle Paul's troubleshooter. There's any trouble anywhere, Titus was the one the Apostle Paul sent in to straighten it out. Titus was the Apostle Paul's troubleshooter. Four, Paul sent Titus to Corinth to see how the epistle of 1 Corinthians had been received by all those believers. There were many churches in Corinth. Paul sent Titus to Corinth to see how the epistle of 1 Corinthians had been received. Five, Paul was so tough and hard-nosed in his teaching of 1 Corinthians that he was concerned that the believers had reacted, peeled off, and didn't want to have anything more to do with Paul or his teaching. Paul was so tough and hard-nosed in his teaching of 1 Corinthians that he was concerned that the believers in Corinth had reacted, peeled off, and didn't want to have anything more to do with Paul or his teaching. Six, in the epistle of 1 Corinthians, Paul didn't pull any punches. He clobbered them with tough virtue love. Tough virtue love. He loved them all, every one of them, with impersonal love. But he taught exactly what they needed to hear with tough virtue love. So in the epistle of 1 Corinthians, Paul didn't pull any punches. He clobbered them with tough virtue love. 7, Titus then was sent to Corinth to find out the situation and then report back to Paul. Paul's been waiting for him to report back, and he hasn't heard from him. He's getting concerned. Titus was sent to Corinth to find out the situation and then report back to Paul. 8, God comforted Paul by means of the coming of Titus and the great report that he had for Paul. God comforted Paul by means of the coming of Titus and the great report that he had for Paul. Nine, the churches in Corinth, and there were many local churches in Corinth, the churches in Corinth responded to the Apostle Paul's tough teaching. They took the spiritual clobbering with humility, with the result that they now love Paul more than ever before. The churches in Corinth responded to the Apostle Paul's tough teaching. They took the spiritual clobbering with humility, with the result that they now love Paul more than ever before. So the corrected translation says, but God, the one who comforts the downhearted and the humble, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now, verse 7, we have the good news of Titus' report. Verse 7, and not by his coming only. This is the postpositive conjunction da plus the objective negative oo with the neuter of the adjective monos. Now that's a very important structure. Oo monos. Plus the preposition phrase and plus the dative singular parousia repeated again with the definite article plus the genitive singular of autos. The postpositive conjunction da is a transitional da, not a conjunction of contrast, a transitional de, and it may be correctly translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We're going to translate it and. And then we have the adjective monos in the neuter. And then when monos, let me put that up here, when monos is in the neuter, that's monos, M-O-N-O-S. And all the way, if you want to make that a neuter, if you want to neuter it, put an N there. And that's a neuter, and then you have monon. So when the adjective monos is in the neuter, then it functions as an adverb, and it means only. Now, we have a very special construction here in the Greek. These are all the kind of, this is what turns me on when I'm in my office and studying. I get turned on by umanon alakai. I got to have a swig of tea. Whew. Boy, when I saw umanon alakai, you gotta be, you know what, me. So we got ooh, the objective negative ooh, and manon, manos in the neuter. And then we have Allah Kai. Gotta put it in English now. Kai. Umanon Allah Kai. Umanon is translated not only, Allah Kai, but also. Not only, but also. The preposition en plus the dative introduces again means instrument and is translated by means of, and then parousia is repeated again, the coming, then genitive singular of autos, by means of his coming, that's Titus. And not only by means of his coming. So that's the first clause introduced. Umanon, and not only by means of his coming, and then the next clause, alakai, but also, and this is the conjunction Allah with kai, but also the prepositional phrase n plus the dative of paraklesis, which comes from parakaleo, the verb, plus the dative singular relative pronoun host, plus the aorist passive indicative of paraklesis once again, plus the prepositional phrase ep plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun su. Now we have the completion of our special phrase. Umanon alakai. Not only, but also. Once again, n plus the dative is by means of, dative of means, paraklesis. This is the noun from the verb parakaleo. That's P-A-R-A-K-L, long E-S-I-S, paraklesis. Paraklesis, with a definite article, is the comfort, dative singular relative pronoun host, with which comfort, and now parakaleo was once again repeated for the third time. And once again, in our verse, it specifically means to comfort, to encourage, to cheer up. Titus was comforted and encouraged by you. Titus, the pastor teacher Titus, was comforted and encouraged by the believers in Corinth when he went up there. So we have, and not only by means of his coming, but also by means of the comfort with which comfort he, Titus, was comforted and encouraged by you. He was comforted and encouraged by you, and he gave this great report to me, and I was comforted. So, and not only by means of his coming, but also by means of the comfort with which comfort he, Titus, was comforted and encouraged by you when he told us your earnest desire. And this is the present active participle of anangelo, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the accusative singular of epipothesis, with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. First of all, anangelo. A N A. Now you got two gutturals. And when you have two gutturals together, when you speak it, the first one is an N, the second one is a G. E-L-L, long O, anangelo. All right. Anangelo literally means to report. And when a person returns from a place, he oftentimes gives a report. Pastor teacher Titus has returned from Corinth, and now he is giving his report to the Apostle Paul. Titus has a great report to give to the Apostle Paul. The present tense is the progressive present. The action is presented as actually being in progress at the time of speaking. The active voice, pastor, teacher, Titus, is giving this great report to the Apostle Paul. The participle is circumstantial, temporal. When he reported, as he reported. And then the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego, to us. That is, to Paul and the rest of his team. Now, there were three parts in Titus' report. Three parts in Titus' report. Part one is your earnest desire. That's epipothesis. E-P-I-P-O-T-H, long E-S-I-S. Epipothesis. Now this word, epipothesis, is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's used by the Apostle Paul. And both times it is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 7, and 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. The only time this word is found, two times by Paul and in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 7, 7, and 7, 11. And epipothesis is not found in the Septuagint version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures, and it is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. What does that mean? Paul coined this word. under the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit used Paul's genius that he had. He coined a word that had never been coined before to communicate exactly what God the Holy Spirit wanted taught. So here you see again the genius of the Apostle Paul. One, epipothesis comes from the verb epipotheo. E-P-I-P-O-T-H-E, long O. Epipotheo. So epipothesis comes from the verb epipotheo. Now, the verb epipotheo is also found by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. I'd like you to turn over to 2 Corinthians. And we studied this, well, a couple chapters ago. And we also studied this in the Heaven Special. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, start at verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in, the earthly tent we live in, that's your human body. Your human body is a skene, not necessarily skinny, but skene. And skene is tent. We're living in a tent, but we have a mansion in heaven, and we have a resurrection body that's not a skene, not a tent. It's a resurrection body. It is so fantastic. You don't need a space suit. You can travel through space in your resurrection body. You don't have to have a spaceship, space suit, nothing. It's fantastic. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, physical death, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. This is a resurrection body. Meanwhile, we groan, epipotheoing, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Our resurrection body. Well, we're in a tent right now, a human body, but God has a resurrection body for us. Fantastic resurrection body. And we are epipotheoing, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, our resurrection body. So that's the verb form. And you know, I can't tell you how I am longing to be clothed in my resurrection body. And everybody wants to know, are you going to get your knees done and so on and so forth? Maybe. But I'll tell you right now, I don't want to miss one class. I don't want to miss one class. I want to keep on there. And you're the face-to-face part of the congregation, although I don't know what this bug is that's been going around. Everybody seems to be coughing their head off. But I am looking forward to a resurrection body, and I don't want to miss teaching one class. I mean, all these different books, and I get feedback from people all over this country and other parts of the world. We get reports from Africa every week from a pastor in Africa who just says, oh, that class was so great. Well, they need this. They need this doctrine. And all over America, the non-face-to-face church of Upland Bible Church. They need this doctrine. They want this doctrine. And Monday when I called my brother Don called me, he says, Richie says, his wife is Sue and I, our life right now is listening to you teach the classes. And as soon as we get off this phone, we're going to listen to you on the Sunday class. And he said, and by the way, from last week, that Thursday class and 2 John, and going over and reviewing the whole concept of impersonal love for all, virtue love. He says, that was so great to get that all pulled together and go right through it. And I said, and, you know, this is my brother. A lot of times brothers have conflicts and fighting. Now my brother Don, now my brother Mike, now my brother Dave, but my brother Don listens to the classes. And when we were growing up, we fought all the time. My brother Don and I, we fought all. We were only a year and a half apart. Mom and Dad were on speed dial, you know. We were only a year and a half apart. We were fighting all the time. We fought so much that for Christmas, Dad gave us both boxing gloves. But that was no fun. Boxing gloves are no fun. You can't hurt anybody with boxing gloves. You wanted to hurt somebody. You wanted knuckles. So we got rid of the boxing gloves and just started punching again. And we kept doing that until he got bigger than me. And when he got bigger than me, then he also turned out for football, and he was one hell of a, actually, one heaven of a football player. He was a great football player. And then I became a believer in Jesus Christ, and I thought, you know, I better give him the gospel, because he might want to keep on fighting. He'd knock my block off. So I gave him the gospel. He believed in Christ. And then, now you need to learn about loving your brothers, impersonal love for all. And he does. And I can't tell you how much I love my brother Don. I love him so much. And it's mutual. He loves me so much. He loves me. Yes, I'm his brother, but I'm his pastor. How many times does that go on? Where your brother is your pastor, and he has the greatest humility ever. And so I love that. So epipothesis comes from the verb epipotheo, which means to long for or to desire something. 2, therefore, epipothesis means longing, longing. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun Sue, your longing. The Corinthian believer's longing. 3, now they love Paul and they long for him and his teaching. Now these believers love Paul and they long for him and his teaching of the Word of God. 4, now they have positive volition and humility. Now they have respect for the Apostle Paul as a communicator of the Word of God. That's the first part of the report that Titus had for Paul. Their epipothesis. Paul, they are longing for your teaching. They're longing for you to come back, face to face and teach them the Word of God. So that's the first part of the report. We're going to take up part two and part three next week in this great report. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.